Welcome back to One Mom to Another. My name is Cindy Anderson, and I am the author of the book One Mom to Another, and this is the first episode of Season 3. And with me to help get this season started are all of my kids. Everyone say hello.
Hello!
Hi.
I think that the sibling relationship is one of the most fascinating relationships that I've ever been part of or observed. I read an article that talked about a researcher by the name of Alfred Adler, and he is known for developing the birth order theory. And he claims that birth order, along with family, community, and social aspects, are what play a major role in shaping a child's personality. So I kind of want to explore that with my kids as we talk about their own very unique sibling relationships and how these relationships shaped their adult lives. So let's start to begin discussing your birth order and how it has influenced you as a child growing up and who you are as an adult.
So for instance, Michael, who is our youngest, always has to take the back seat of the car. What are some things that were affected by your birth order, or your birth order affected what happened?
Either way, I think I got you. Yeah. Well, so yeah, back of the car. That was big. I am 29 and that still is happening. Also, I feel like I was like the go-to for experimenting. If someone's like, we want to try this, but who do we test this on? It was kind of like, get Michael. So I just have memories of me being dragged away from my toys to get thrown into a dryer or something, right?
Well, to choose your victim, you need someone who looks up to you enough, like idolizes you enough, they're not going to tell mom and dad. So Caroline was out. But also didn't think through like the consequences of like what we were asking him to do. So that was Michael.
I feel like Stephanie, you out of all the other siblings could just kind of get me to be like, Michael, I have this really ridiculous idea that's going to be painful for you. And I want to try it out. And you could get me to do it.
Well, you know, to that point, when we do the family reunion and my wife, Natalie, has this idea for a human pinata where someone puts a t-shirt on with candy hot glued and the nieces and nephews tackle him. Was there any doubt in anyone's mind who was going to be the sort of sacrificial human pinata? Did anyone have any question?
No, the ranking order goes youngest to oldest, and Michael is perfectly capable of being a pinata. There's no reason why he shouldn't or couldn't do it. So then it's done. It's Michael, and he's locked in.
Well, when I heard you shooting a doll at Michael?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was surprisingly old when you did that to me.
What in the world?
You were double digits.
I was shockingly old.
You were probably about 16. Do you guys see that little like doll where you pull the little...
Those little Dragon Flyer dolls.
Dragon Flyers, and it's a record, and those things get moving. They get moving.
Will's wife, would make Michael run from one end of the house to the other, and we would try to beam him with these like dolls.
Just speaking of, you're always going to live up to whatever birth order you were, just in terms of Moose Man, he's just the youngest. And I was just telling a friend the other day, you know, my younger brother, he's graduating with a master's and he's got a job and he's functioning. He's an actual adult. But in my head, he's just the kid that my older brothers gave swirlies to. Like, he's just never going to grow up.
In your head, you're fascinated I can navigate a grocery store by
exactly.
myself.
Exactly. And keep two other little humans alive. Like, you have kids, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Is the middle child always forgotten? That would be Eric as our middle child.
Yes.
We don't have a lot of positive evidence to the contrary, also.
So do we need to call Eric and see if he can get on the Zoom call with us?
Yeah. Oh, hey, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? How long have you been on the call?
I've been here the whole time, man. The whole time. Just listening. Well, you know, waiting for my turn.
It's your turn, Eric. We're talking about the middle child.
Okay, well, then let's run through it. Okay, so I think I was left at church at least twice.
I think that's true.
Okay, I was forgotten at band practice at least twice.
Okay, but Eric, I blame you, because here's the thing. You were such a mild-mannered, even-tempered child, that like when we would all get in the car, everyone knew that Mel and William were in the car, right? And you never forgot the babies because they make their presence known. But you just, whether you were with us or we left you, just, you know, not a lot of peace, not a lot of dissension or, you know, conflict.
It makes me feel bad to complain. But I would also like to point out the fact that when we were adults, William took off with me trying to get into the van. And I was like, hey, Will. And he's like, oh, I forgot you were there. So.
Will? I don't for that per se. It does sound like something that would have happened. And if it was going to be any of the kids, it would definitely have been Eric that would have happened too.
What about being the oldest?
I'm kind of like the first to do a lot of different things, whether it's with like work or, you know, or whatnot.
You know, I think that the role of the biggest, strongest, right? You want to make sure that you keep the younger brothers. I don't care what the pecking order is after me, but my place in the pecking order needs to remain there. And there is a certain level of pride, and whether it comes out in competitively when we're playing sports or whatever, or, you know, just making sure that they see that I am still oldest and therefore the
top, yeah,
the alpha kid, right? The alpha sibling. By the time I came home from my mission, my perspective had changed. I genuinely came to like them as people, which is weird, which is like, and maybe you guys can relate to that, that when you come to the realization that like your siblings are actually like people and they have personalities, and these are guys like you could be friends with, you know?
I'm just trying to reconcile this in my head, because last November, William had me in like jujitsu holds and headlocks. And so I'm trying to reconcile.
Every once in a while, he need to like just throw, you know, a little demonstration out there just in case. Sure. But overall.
Yeah, nothing Michael got into was not voluntary.
I think as long as we're cool with having very fluid definitions of the word voluntary, I think we're fine. I think as long as we're okay there, I think we can move forward.
It's a gray space. It's a gray space. We know this.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mom, honestly, it's really kind of an interesting point because, you know, that quote you shared at the beginning where, you know, kids are a product of their birth order, I think that has a lot to do with parenting and parenting styles. You know, you and Dad, you have 7 children. Clearly, you know, your experience as parents is still ongoing and has spanned decades. And by the time myself, Caroline, and Michael are coming up, you and Dad have figured out a lot more stuff. I remember Melanie and William coming home from college for Christmas break. Their college semester had ended. Our high school semester had not. So we still had maybe a week of high school classes left before we were done for Christmas break. And it was maybe like a Tuesday, and we're just kind of hanging out, playing guitar, talking. It's like 9:45, 10 o'clock. And Melanie starts to look around, like, why aren't the kids in bed? And isn't it bedtime? Isn't it reading time? And you and Dad were like, oh yeah, we don't really do that anymore. That's like not a thing we do, is send our children to sleep. And the sense of injustice and unfairness, and, you know, Melanie, who was, you know, told to go to bed by 9:30 sharp every night of her life, maybe. You know, parenting evolves and changes as you start to get your legs underneath you and understand what, like I said, what's a battle worth fighting.
Yeah. So what are some of the greatest disparities between the older kids and the younger kids?
One of the things that I think Daniel, Caroline, and myself, we all had the benefit of seeing positive and negative actions from the older siblings, right? Yeah. So I think that when we showed that we weren't going to make those same mistakes or do the same things that made Mom and Dad upset, you guys were just a little bit more like relieved, to where, you know, we got away with just a little bit more because we weren't repeating the same mistakes.
You learn from the older ones.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Typical oldest scenario. It's my burden to bear. I got it.
Melanie and William kind of fell on the sword for the younger kids.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I ever really, like in high school, I never really had too much of a curfew enforced. But then again, I always came home like at 9
p.m. Right.
I never even tried to like push it, you know, never tried to stay out later and get away with things. So,
Well, and I think cell phones change things too. I mean, the younger kids had phones they could call and say, hey, we're going to move over here. We're going to go over there. So they could kind of do more things during the night than maybe the older kids. Yeah.
It's one of those things that, you know, like what you guys said, you know, as your parenting progresses and your level of comfort with, you know, certain, mm-hmm. certain things, it changes,
yeah.
you know, it's fluid.
Yeah. And to Daniel's point, you know, when we start, Dad and I are in our 20s. What do we know about kids and raising kids? We know nothing. And so you don't know what's important and you don't know what's not. So you just figure everything's important.
You learn to properly evaluate, you know, what their behavior.
Yeah.
But we still, like, even as adults, though, you can tell we're the product of the same parents, but there's got to be differences that are the result of that shift in parenting styles.
Right, right. It just, there's a natural evolution that I think that happens between your first and your last. Wow. And I think it's universal. So let me just kind of switch up a little bit here. Large family, 7 children. What were some of the things that you did to rule your world? We talked about using the pecking order to who gets to sit in the front seat of our car.
There were more children than there were spots on the couch, right?
Right.
And they were the coveted spots. And this was, you know, the days where you had to go take care of everything that you needed to take care of during commercial break, right? So like we were all racing to go get things done and racing back. And so it evolved into a statement of seat saved. And if you didn't say seat saved before you left, then your seat was fair game. Yeah. Like anyone could just go sit in it. But for some reason, those two words, seat safe, became this unspoken law of the land where you didn't violate, that you were like, oh, cool, man. Okay, you said seat safe, like, then I'm not going to. Even an older child wouldn't use pecking order as a reason to take the seat. Seat safe was sacrosanct, right?
That was the word I was going to use, Steph. It was sacrosanct. Absolutely. For whatever reason, these two words did more. Like, you remember Carl G. Mazur, the BYU guy who's like, draw a chalk circle around me and I give my word of honor and I can't leave even if I could escape jail or what's he, you know what I'm talking about.
Something like that.
I think you're basically there. You're floating around it. Yeah.
So that was like a chalk line. You know, it became this really governing sort of force. And even if, you know, you're sitting there looking with these googly eyes at a wide open spot on the couch for the second half of America's Funniest Videos. If Caroline called seat saved, that seat was saved and you were under absolutely, you know, a full obligation to honor. That's a funny example. I forgot about that.
What I think is funny too, is that if seat saved was not called, then to watch the scramble of who was going to get it.
Discovery Channel. Alligators with a gazelle at the watering hole, like literally, truly.
That's right.
So one of the things that I wanted to bring up was using the pecking order to get out of the pecking order, right? Now hear me out. Me and Melian and I were, you know, older than Stephanie. However, we all knew that Stephanie was the better, like, babysitter, caregiver. So when mom would leave, basically the pecking order says, if Melanie's home, she's in charge. If Will's home, he's in charge, right? So it wouldn't matter, like, if Melanie was home or if I was home, it was, yeah, I'm going to be here. But I used my pecking order to get out of the pecking order. Yeah. And I honestly believe it was best for everyone. Yeah, but for some things, I couldn't delegate away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But when I could, we delegated it right over to the person who it needed to be with, right?
You're talking about, you know, sibling government and forms of sibling government to stake your claim. You know, I think a lot of that happened at the dinner table as the roles are coming around. You grab 5 roles or you're not getting any roles. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, servings and helpings and all that sort of stuff.
We would have ice cream. And Daniel and I,
yes, the ice cream contest.
Yeah, William and Melanie had the contest to see who could make their ice cream the smoothest, and they kept judging it. And lo and behold, I go down to enjoy it, and it's gone.
Completely shambolic, a completely shambolic contest.
Yeah.
Where
but you guys all did great and you won. All of you guys won.
But in the end, you won. You know.
I think we could say we both equally won.
I forgot about those ice cream contests. I'm filled with a little bit of rage because I think I repressed that memory. I'm dealing with it right now, live time.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, another thing that Melanie and I would do is mom would go grocery shopping for the week. And what she bought was what we had. And when it was gone, it was gone. And I knew that those Little Debbie treats were going to be the first to go. So Melanie and I would typically open the box,
unreal,
hide a bunch, and then leave the rest for you guys and the rest of us so that we were the first ones to, you know, stockpile. And, you know, we were just older and more mature and knew how to do it. You guys were just oblivious.
So corrupt. The corruption.
Just one question for you, William. How do you sleep at night?
Yeah. I also think in some ways, you know, a big part of my childhood as, you know, the fifth of seven was trying to carve out an identity and forms of self-expression that felt unique to me, you know, that was not necessarily shared by all the siblings. So for Eric and I, music was a big thing. Music that we listened to and that we liked. There was a lot of overlap with, you know, what Will was listening to, but also what Dad was listening to. Huge Dave Matthews fan. I can attribute that almost entirely to Will. You know, and running cross country because of, you know, the memories of waking up on Saturday morning and driving to wherever Will was racing and, you know, really being caught up when he went to state as a senior and ran at the state meet and wanting to do that, you know, too. Yeah. But at the same time, you look up to your brothers, your older siblings, but there's also this really intense desire to be your own person too. All that's kind of really important and, you know, happens in sibling relationships where, you know, you're like your siblings, you can't avoid that, but you also want to try and be individually yourself as well.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Well, and to that point too, I actually kind of had a different experience with that because I feel like part of my identity was like trying to like gain acceptance with the older brothers, right? Of like trying to like the same music that they did. Mm-hmm. And William, he's a big reason why I learned to play the guitar, right? And so a lot of my identity formation was trying to actually, as the youngest, find my way in and gain acceptance.
I've got a question for the younger kids, because I never grew up with this as the oldest, but like for Michael and Daniel, like, and Caroline to some degree, did you find it difficult or frustrating to be compared to your older siblings as you're going through school and stuff and teachers and coaches that are, oh, you're Eric's brother, you're Daniel's brother. And then now you're being evaluated based on their relationship with your older sibling.
Ms. Richarmée. So she knew all of us.
You really set the great example there for us, Eric. Thanks.
He taught physics and she had... Eric didn't love Eric. I had an uphill battle trying to get her to like an Anderson because I was coming right after Eric. I don't know if Daniel, you had her.
Same here. It took half a semester before she realized I was being serious with anything I was saying at all.
Exactly.
No, this is the thing, is I think I also kind of prepared you for her, right? Her crazy quirks and everything, you knew about them because of me. Right? Like, I was taken off hand.
Sure.
I think you're putting a bit too positive of a spin on this one, Eric. I never had Mr. Charmaine. I purposely avoided her because of some of these experiences. But I did have, like, I had, like, Miss Zell and Coach Coker. I don't know if any of those names sound familiar, but I'd always get compared, for sure, to William's point. Just like, Coach Coker, one time in science class, said, "This is Michael Anderson. He's younger brother to Daniel Anderson, who's, like, the best human being out there." And I how am I doing? He's like, you're like if he was like number one in the book, you'd be on a couple pages over, Michael. And I'm like, perfect, that's great.
Well, and especially, you know, middle school and high school, having Eric as an older brother, it's exactly what you're talking about. I was called Little Anderson, you know, for about 4 years of my life there, because Eric was, Miss Richarmée aside, pretty well beloved by his athletic coaches and teachers and friends and things like that too. And it was kind of some instant popularity, which was nice because I was Eric's little brother. Yeah. So that was great.
I think too, with seven kids, you know, we have Melanie and William, we've got two oldest, we've got two middles, we've got two babies. Because I would say that both Michael and Caroline are the babies of the family. And that puts Eric and Daniel kind of in the middle. And, you know, maybe Stephanie, where are you? Do you think you're an older or a younger or a middle?
Stephanie was the youngest of the oldest, but mm-hmm. the oldest of the youngest, oh, right? She was kind of caught. Melanie and I always viewed her as one of, you know, the older, like in the mm-hmm. older category. The younger kids started with Eric down.
And I think too, to your point, Mom, I think it's interesting. Yes, me and Caroline are both the youngest, but I feel like her and I have filled very different youngest roles. Mm-hmm. Like we played the youngest role very differently. Can anyone name one beef anyone's ever had with Caroline in the family ever?
Not one.
I dare you to find something.
Give me like an hour.
Right. Yeah, this is, no one can do it. And I don't know, Caroline, what your thoughts are on that, but I feel like you and I have played very different youngest roles.
Well, I do think if anyone has a beef with me, it probably would be Moose, because I feel like, yes, he and I were the youngest, but I was older than him. So he was the one person that I could be older to and tell what to do, or at least try to.
Caroline was the oldest of the youngest, for sure.
Yes, exactly.
A couple of weeks ago, Michelle, my wife, and I were over at Caroline and Blake, her husband's. And I just remember being like, this is so mind-bending. Here we are with our own kids running around, parenting, totally. And doing weird stuff. And I was like, do you remember when I told you I'd never talk to you again? You know?
Right, for sure, so yeah.
It's just kind of funny that it's all evolved.
Yeah, and let's touch on that for just a real quick second before I ask my last question. You know, this transition from swearing to be enemies for the rest of your life, I have a lot of moms talk to me about this, you know. My kids are always fighting. Are they ever going to be friends? I mean, it just evolves, doesn't it?
For sure. I feel like I remember specifically having that conversation with you where I'm in tears after Michael and I just had a fight. You know, I'm probably 9 and just saying, we'll never be friends. We'll never like each other. And I remember distinctly you being like, yes, you will. You will love each other when you get older. You will definitely be friends. And it's so true. I feel like that is a huge concern moms have, but everything gets worked out. You definitely become friends with your siblings as you get older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It really is just such a unique relationship. Okay. So here's my last question. I'd like everybody to answer it in their turn. Would anyone trade their birth order and why?
Are we starting youngest to oldest? Oldest to youngest? I'll say no. I think overall, I've really loved the experience of being the youngest, and it's been a very unique experience. I don't have all the memories that the oldest have, which I think is probably the biggest drawback, in my opinion, of being the youngest, is they'll swap stories of like the Ohio house and even the Indiana house. And I just don't have those. But I think overall, I really appreciate how being the youngest has influenced my life and where I've gone because of being the youngest. So I'm going to say no for me.
Okay. Yeah, I think I would also say no. I echo Michael in that sometimes, yeah, I don't share a lot of the same memories that the older kids have. And so that's a bummer. But I really appreciate the fact that I could learn and grow and like watch my older siblings, you know, and the good things they did and the not so good things they did, and kind of incorporate that into my own life. So I would say no.
Okay.
I'm a hard no. I think fifth is actually the best. I highly recommend it. To anybody. I think it is that sort of perfect blend. I had older siblings to look up to and to learn from, you know, younger siblings to have that experience of being quote unquote older and wiser. Although, you know, Mom, I've shared this with you, and I think with Michael and Caroline too. I really look up to Caroline and Michael too. You know, they're two people that really have got it together in a way that I really admire and respect. And it's been a lot of fun to go to college with Caroline and see Michael and, you know, grow up and start his family and just be awesome too. So I really just think I've got the best of all worlds kind of being smack dab in the middle of it. Not to mention that, you know, kind of coming into your teenage years as mom and dad are getting real tired.
Can't beat that. It's really nice.
means you got a really long rope, you know? Yes.
Oh yeah.
And they have a lot more money.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
All joking aside about being like, left behind, I was in a cool spot where I could see both. I mean, if we're going to use the word generation of Melanie to Stephanie and then Daniel to Michael, mm-hmm. I was able to see a lot of the memories and see a lot of the growth going both ways. So it was a lot of fun to kind of, because I really do feel like I'm, you know, in the middle as far as just appreciating the best of both worlds. Like I got to see William and how awesome William and Melanie and Stephanie are. And then I got to grow and respect Caroline and Michael and Daniel. I definitely feel like as far as everything goes, I mean, you know, I'm surrounded by a bunch of great people and I'm just glad that I got to see both sides of it. You know,
I kind of feel the same way as Eric, that like one of the coolest like times being an older sibling was, you know, watching your younger siblings grow up when you kind of realize like, oh my gosh, these guys are adults now. And just how cool that is. And then also the perks of being some of the older, you know, the older kid. So no, I wouldn't change it. I think that was a nice, it was nice to be third. It was nice to have some of the, you know, responsibilities of an older kid, like what Will mentioned, that sometimes the the some of the older oldest kids' responsibilities kind of fell on my shoulders a little bit. And that was nice. And I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't change it.
Nope. I wouldn't change it. You know, I'm technically the second, mm-hmm. but I think Melanie and I were kind of like co-oldest, oldest, second oldest. Mm-hmm. I have benefited from, you know, being top of the pecking order. And I still enjoy being someone that they can talk to and rely on, look up to and come to for advice. And no, I wouldn't do anything to change that. I love it. And I love looking back on the years as the oldest with some of the crazy stuff, but the funny stuff, but just how much joy it's been to see the younger kids grow up and mature and become people. And then you still have that pecking order relationship of the oldest, but it's different in a really cool way.
It is interesting how that pecking order still stays, but it is enhanced, and how it changes when you're an adult. It still means something, but it means something in a different way. So Melanie, would you change your birth order?
Yes. And I will tell you.
Do you want to think about it, Mel? I mean, take a second.
I would be Michael in a heartbeat. Hey. I look at Michael's life compared to like mine of like cars and cell phones and computers. I mean, Michael, you'll never have the front seat, but trust me, there's perks you don't even know about that exist. So yeah. So I mean, think about that. When you're crammed in like the back, just know that secretly in the front seat where I'm comfortable, I have my own jealousy issues.
And I'll be in the back playing on my smartphone. And I'll be like, I'm fine. I'm totally fine.
Exactly. So yeah, I probably would change, but at the same time, I've actually really grown to love my birth order.
Change it.
Dude, let's hope Melanie doesn't meet a wizard somewhere.
I'm calling seat saved on my pecking order. All right.
The oldest, they do have a tougher road. They're working with amateurs, but I think that the oldest children are strong and they play a role in the family that's really, really, really important and vital.
Well, thank you. Spoken like a true mama. But, you know, and I would agree with you. I think that there is kind of a sense of like, you don't really have an example to go before you. You are kind of figuring things out, both as the young parent and also as the oldest child. So in a lot of ways, you're both, you know, going through a lot of uncharted territory, and you learn and you pass that wisdom down. And I do enjoy kind of having like that sense of stewardship or love that I can extend, you know, backwards.
Yeah, I really like that thought. What a lovely way to think about that, and an equally lovely way to end this episode. It's always so fun to talk with all of you guys, and I appreciate your help and supporting me with my podcast. And I think it's just been a great discussion. And thank you everyone for listening. Please
like, subscribe, and review.
You can find more about this topic on my website, onemomtoanother.com, and I will put links in the show notes. I always love hearing from you, so please leave your comments or you can contact me directly. And I just want to thank all my kids again, and I love you all.
Love you, Mom.
Love you.
Love you, Mom. Guys.
Thanks, Mom. Bye.
Love
guys.
You. Bye, guys. I think now is the time And I'm being serious. Now is the time for us to decide, you know, who is the favorite child? Because
that is a very good point. We're all here.
I knew the second Eric said, and I'm being serious, that he was not being serious. I was like, oh, this is a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke because I know I'm the favorite. So, yeah.
Wait a second.
My favorite
knows. That Eric knows that he's the favorite. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I am just going to say what I always say, and that is that my favorite knows who they are.
Yeah, totally, Mom.
Wink.